I'm just going to read four verses actually, Deuteronomy 5 through 8. Now, I'm going to just give you a little background just before I read this, that Deuteronomy is called the second law. This is Moses reciting the law again to the children of Israel. They are on the edge of the land of Canaan. They're going to go into the land of Canaan. They've been in the wilderness for 40 years, and they are about to go into the promised land. Moses has forfeited his ticket into the promised land. God had told him to speak to the rock, and he struck the rock twice. And because he disobeyed God, he was not allowed to go into the promised land. You say, wow. I mean, come on, God. Well, here's a man that spoke directly with God, and too much is given, much is required. And that was not something that he could have gotten away with. But anyway, this is Moses speaking to the children of Israel to go into the land, and that's what the book of Deuteronomy is. It's called the second law. And starting at verse 5, it says, on this side Jordan, in the land of Moab, began Moses to declare this law, saying, the Lord our God spake unto us in Horeb, saying, ye have dwelt long enough in this mount. Turn to your neighbor and say, long enough. Turn you and take your journey and go to the mount of the Amorites and unto all the places nigh thereunto, in the plain, in the hills, in the vale, in the south and by the seaside, to the land of the Canaanites and unto Lebanon and the great river, the river Euphrates. Behold, I have set the land before you. Go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give unto them and to their seed after them. Lord, I thank you for your word this morning. I pray, God, that your word would find a large place in our heart. Lord, that it would change us. Lord, that we would have more faith. You said faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the revealed word of God. So I pray, God, that you'd open up your scripture this morning and reveal your scripture to each one of us. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Turn to your neighbor and say, you're looking especially good this morning. So Moses here is, can you imagine this, that Moses has not been allowed to go into the promised land, and now he's given a whole book of instruction, and he wants the children of Israel, he wants them not to forget the law. Don't forget the law. Don't forget the plan of God. And God's plan was to build a kingdom of priests through Israel, that the whole world would come through Israel, through Jesus as the Messiah, to be saved. But they rejected that. They rejected Jesus. But Moses is, I can't even imagine the pain in his heart that he can't go in to the promised land. And, you know, Scott, it just amazes me. But the humility of the man, because he says, I want you guys to go in. The part I'm really going to dwell on this morning, I'm not going to take too long, but verse 7, it says, turn you, take your journey, and go. Turn, take your journey, and go. And that's the message this morning. And here's the thing, what God is saying. He says, you've dwelt long enough in this mount. In verse 8, you have dwelt long enough in this mount. Now, the mount he's talking about is Mount Sinai. Now, there is 11 days' journey. If you look up here in verse 2, there are 11 days' journey from Horeb by the way of Mount Sinai to Kadesh Barnea. Okay, now this is a pretty amazing thing, but it's taken the children of Israel 40 years to go an 11 days journey. Now, I saw a traffic jam last night around 5 o'clock. And I didn't want to be in that. But this is a traffic jam. This is a journey that has taken 40 years to go 11 days. Now, we know why. The reason why is that when they leave Mount Sinai, Moses sends out spies into the land. And so there's 12 spies and one spy from every tribe. And Moses says, go out and spy the land. So they go into the land, and it's a land that's full of giants, but it's a land that's full of giant grapes and giant fruits, and everything's really good. But isn't this something that what we do? What we look at the enemy, and we say, wow, Goliath, he's huge. Or this giant's huge. Well, they were there for 40 days. They went into that land, and they came back. And you know the story that Caleb and Joshua were the only two. Joshua says, let's go up at once. Let's go right now. I like that. You know, let's just go now. You know, let's not think about this. Let's just think that maybe God is with us. Let's just kind of believe God. Maybe if we go, he'll just be, or maybe he's already there. So the other 10 says, oh no, we're like grasshoppers. Those guys are giants. They're just going to crunch us. And so God was not pleased with that. So what he did was he gave them 1 year for every day. Every day that they were in the land with unbelief, they had to go 40 years into the wilderness. So, you know, he did that with the Babylonian captivity too. They didn't observe the Sabbath for 70 weeks. They were 70 years captive in Babylon. So that's kind of God's calendar. 1 day equals a year. So you might want to obey God today, because it's going to be a year before he comes around again. You know what I'm saying? Just, you know, I'm not, you know. Is that okay, God? Yeah. All right, you know. So, but Moses is saying, turn you. You've dwelt at this mountain long enough. So at the mount, you've got the mountain is where God came down, and the mountain was on fire, and there was the presence of God. And I'm sure the children of Israel, I mean, that was a fearful thing. That, you know, they could hear God. The whole place rumbled with the presence of God. And but they got kind of used to that. And see, you know, we get kind of used to God. Anybody ever get kind of used to God? Just coming to church and, you know, we've got to have a super duper whopper thing, you know, to really kind of move us. And we get comfortable. And I think that's what the children of Israel, they get comfortable. They were there for a year. And God's presence was there. They weren't doing anything. They just kind of come in and get out of their tent and see the mountain on fire and say, ah, wow. Look at God today. Man, he's awesome. You know, and so, but they, every day, they'd come out. And then Moses says, you've dwelt long enough here. How many know that God knows exactly his timing? See, and we're going to be in one of three places. We're either going to be ahead of God, we're either going to be behind God, or we're going to be with God. And this is all about timing. This is all about timing. That's why David would say to God, God, shall I go up and, you know, fight the Philistines? And the Lord says, go up. He'd ask again, Lord, are you going to fight? He says, no, wait. So you don't want to get ahead of God. You don't want to get behind God. You want to be right with God. Any golfers in here? Yeah, this is a golfer lady. Praise the Lord. Anybody else? Praise the Lord. Well, I am not a golfer. I went on a little personal retreat one time, and I took my garage sale golf bag with me. And it was up in Keyser Lake area, and I went there. They're a beautiful golf course. And so I said to the lady at the desk, I says, I haven't played golf in 25 years. She says, it'll all come back to you. I says, great. So I had a whole bunch of garage sale golf balls. And I put one down, and I hit that thing, and just the most beautiful slice you've ever seen. I says, it's all coming back to me. After the third hole, I stopped counting strokes or counting balls. And I just was trying to get that one shot that would be the sweet spot. You know what I'm talking about? You know, I'm going to go all day. That thing's going to go slice and hook. But there's going to be one that is going to, I'm going to hit that thing and whack. And it go, oh, you know. Tiger Woods has nothing on me, you know. And so, but see, that's the way it is with God. A lot of swings we do, we're slicing, but there's one time when you hit that stride with God, and you're right there. And see, that's why God is saying, and Moses is saying to the children of Israel, at that time, he says, now turn. Turn. And that word turn in the Hebrew means to look. See, they're looking at God, and God's got a promised land over here. So they're just kind of looking this way, and Moses says, turn. You gotta turn. He says, this is where you're going. Now they don't realize that they're gonna be 40 years, going there, because they just started. It's 11 day journey. So you're not so discouraged now, are you? You know, these guys, you know, praise the Lord. But the word turn, that means it does mean to repent, and sometimes we just get so comfortable. We get comfortable in the things of God. And, he may have said something to you. God and he says, it's time that you turn. It's time that you look. It's time that you look not at yourself, not at what your circumstance. Look at what I'm doing. Look at where you're going. Turn. Look. Look this way. Praise the Lord. And that's that God wants us to do that. And Moses is there. He says, you've dwelt long enough in this mountain. Turn you and take your journey. Everybody, turn to your neighbor and say, take your journey. Turn to your neighbor and says, I don't want your journey. See, what we want to do is we want to take somebody else's journey. You know, oh boy, good place to amen or ouch or, you know, when's this guy leaving? Hallelujah. See, we look at somebody else's life and we say, wow, do they have it easy? You know, but they don't. See, everybody has your own journey. You all have like a God AAA. This is before, you know, the GPS. You used to go down to AAA and they'd give you a trip tick. Anybody remember that? Yeah, remember the trip tick? You know, and they had a little yellow marker that went and you turned the page, you know? See, God's got a trip tick for you. It's a triple G. God, GGG, not AAA, triple G. And so, you really don't know where you're going. You know, and that's great. That's gives me peace of mind. Right? You know, it's better. It's like the blob on Monsters, Inc. The guy, he says he doesn't have a brain. He says, come to find out, you don't need one. See, what you do, if you're going to obey the Lord, you're going to get your journey. But you have to take your journey. You have to, it's not enough to get the trip tick. Now, you got to take it. And you can't take somebody else's. That's like the guy that, he said to this angel, he says, you know, I've got this cross that I've been carrying and it's just way too heavy for me. He says, well, we have a cross exchange program. He says, you do? He says, absolutely. You can turn your cross in, and then we'll bring you to a room and show you all kinds of crosses. You can pick any cross you want. Really? Yeah. So the guy says, I'm in. All right. I'll give you my cross. And he says, okay, we're going to bring you into. And he goes into this room, and there's some of these crosses were heavy, huge. You know, they were all over the room. There were hundreds of crosses. So he goes over and he looks and he looks. He finds this little cross right here. You know, he says, "How about this one? Can I have this one?" He says, "Yeah, go ahead. That's the one you gave me. That's the cross you gave me." "Oh, that was the little cross I gave you, and somebody else is carrying these cross." Yeah, yeah. You see what I'm saying? Your journey may seem really heavy, but praise God, it's your journey. It's yours. And it's what God is doing in your life. Now, you've got to take your, now, go to the Mount of the Amorites. I hadn't planned on going there, Lord. You know, maybe I could go over someplace else. See, because the Amorites were, they were idol worshipers. They were very fierce. And, you know, so lots of times we don't really want to go where God is sending us. But guess what? You've already prayed. You've already sang the song. "I surrender all. I surrender all to thee, my precious Savior. I surrender all." The Holy Ghost said, "Did you hear that? I heard Mike sing that song." Jesus says, "I heard it." God says, "Well, he said he surrenders all, so let's just give him a journey." Hallelujah. Mike says, "Wait a minute, God. I didn't mean I surrender all. I mean, I was just in church singing a song." He says, "No, no, we took that as if you were actually meaning what you said." "No, I wasn't meaning what I said. No, this journey, no way, no way." Time out. Take your journey. Take your journey. Now, here's what happens when you don't take your journey. Here's what happens. And I got a little illustration here. I'll bring it over.
Pay no attention to that guy moving those glasses of stuff. Pay no attention to that man there.
Okay, I want to show you a scripture. Jeremiah chapter 48, verse 11. And this is kind of a obscure scripture, but I'll kind of break it down for you. It says, "Moab hath been at ease from his youth, and he has settled on his lees, and hath not been emptied from vessel to vessel. Neither hath gone into captivity. Therefore his taste remaineth in him, and his scent is not changed." Okay, so that's a mouthful there. Now, what happens when you don't take your journey, when you sit, is you are not changed. First of all, you're not changed. How many of God wants to change you? Praise the Lord. Yeah. He wants, and many of us ask God, "God, change me." I don't know about you, but I want to wake up tomorrow morning changed than this morning. Amen. Praise the Lord. I mean, I don't really care for me that much. You know, I like Jesus in me. You know, Jesus in me is the good part. You know, like Christ in you. All right, anyway. So Moab is the word for pride. See, a person that is not moving, not taking their journey, is a prideful person. Because it's gonna humble a person to take the journey. You look at people in the Bible that took their journey. I digress. I'll get back to this in a minute. This won't evaporate. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Paul takes a journey. The Apostle Paul. I mean, here's a man that is very highly regarded in his circle. He's a Pharisee. He's a very high ranking person, and he's killing Christians. He thinks he's doing God's service. And then Jesus meets him on the road to Damascus and changes his whole life. Changes his journey. knocks him off his high horse. He's blinded. Jesus sends Ananias to minister to him and says, you know, because Ananias says, do you know who this guy is? He says, oh yeah, I know who Paul is. He says, he's a chosen vessel of mine. He says, he'll go and he's appointed to suffer for my name's sake. And he'll be before kings and, you know, he says, I'm going to use him. So when you read your Bible, because Paul took the journey, which was a very difficult journey, we are now reading 2/3 of the New Testament because a man took his journey. Abram, in the Ur of the Chaldees, he's among all these idol worshipers, and God speaks to him. Somehow, some way, Abram heard from God. And God says, there's my man. And so he goes, can you imagine this? He goes home. Home would be a tent in the desert. And he has a wife there, and he says, honey, we're moving. Where are we going? I don't know, but I'm going on a journey. Really? Yeah, we're just leaving. You know, load up the camel, because we're going. Praise the Lord. Where are you going, Abram? I don't know. But the Bible says that there's a city. He's looking for a city whose maker is God. Hallelujah. He was not looking for an earthly city. See, what Abram did, he turned, he took his journey. And really, that phrase, took his journey, in the Hebrew, it means to pull up your tent stakes. And that's exactly what Abram did. He pulled up his tent stakes, he packed up his tent, packed up his family, and he went. He didn't know whether he was going north, south, east, or west. He just said, okay, God, where are we going? And God led him. Imagine that. But God says, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless all the families. All the families of the earth are going to be blessed through you. Your seed is going to be like the stars of heaven and the sand of the sea. Praise the Lord. But he says, I look for a city whose builder and maker is God. So he's not looking for an earthly city. He's looking, but he's not looking down here. He doesn't have a map. He's looking up here. And God is leading him. Praise the Lord. Take your journey. Now, when you don't take your journey, this is what happens. Moab has been at ease from his youth. When you're not taking your journey, what you're doing is you make a decision. I would rather, this is this decision, it would be better for me just to rest and relax and not take this journey. You know, Abram, you know, that would have been easy for Abram. He wouldn't have to deal with Lot. He wouldn't have to deal with, he had to go to a war with a guy named Chedorlaomer. I mean, his life would have been a whole lot easier, but he wouldn't have been with God. So Moab has become at ease. And so, where am I? He's settled on his lees. Now, when I first read this scripture, I says, what are lees? Lees? Well, I'm glad you asked that question, because it, all right, let's just pretend this is not wine. But let's just pretend it's wine. When they clarify wine, what they do is they put the wine, they stomp the grapes. You know, remember Lucy when she stomped the grapes? Yeah, that's you remember that? Some of you are old enough to remember that. So yeah, Lucy stamps the grapes, and now she's got this grape juice, and it's fermenting, and there's little particles of the grape that are in here. And they settle to the bottom. Okay? And when that sediment down here, that's the lees. Those are the lees. Now, the way that you purify wine is you pour, you let this settle for a while. I don't know how long. But there's a point where it's time to pour this into the next vessel. Now you follow me now? There's time that God is going to pour you out into your new vessel. And you're going to go from, and it says here, settled on his lees and has not been emptied from vessel to vessel. So Moab says, I'm at ease, and I haven't been emptied from vessel to vessel. So what happens is, if you're going to obey and if you're going to be emptied, you take this and you pour it into this. I don't want to get too much in there. Now this sediment is left in here. So now this one's going to settle. Now this is more pure than this. This is more pure than this. So after time, you're going to take this one. You're going to go into here. See, it gets actually lighter. And you go into the next vessel, in the next vessel. And see, that's what God does. God, you know, we say, Lord, change me. He says, okay, I'm going to pour you out. I'm going to prepare a vessel. And that's what Jesus, remember Jesus said, new wine must be poured into new vessels. Or else, you know, you got to have new wine go into new vessels. Now, what happens, back to this one, if you don't pour it out, and you go through this process, those lees begin to get bitter. Begin to get bitter. Uh-oh. See, what happens is if we don't pour ourselves out, if we don't take our journey, and there's a timing of God, I'm going to pour myself out, that those don't, they're not sweet. So this, you know, this, if you were to take this wine and drink it, it would be very bitter. This one here is going to be very clean and very sweet because it doesn't have all that sediment in there. See, that's what God is doing. God does it many times. And it says here, neither hath he gone into captivity, therefore his taste remaineth in him, and his scent is not changed. In other words, I just get gross. Okay, praise God. Hallelujah. So what happens is this gets bitter and it stinks. No analogy to anybody. No, honestly, you know, no analogy there. But, you know, but if you just sit and you don't take your journey, you will become bitter and you will stink. Well, that's good preaching, Pastor Frank. You know, you might as well leave now because you don't know. But Moses says, look, turn, take your journey. Take your journey. Now, I'm not saying it's easy. I'm not saying it's easy to go from here to here. Because that's the change word. Nobody likes that change word. I'm not talking about spare change. I'm talking about change. I'm talking about real change. This church is going some real change. Got some real change going on here. And I don't make light of that. But you're being poured from vessel to vessel. There's a pouring going on, Scott. There's a pouring going on. You're being emptied. But guess what? How much bigger is this one than this one? The only way we can grow is to pour. It's not even pouring ourselves out. It's, Lord, pour me out. When you're ready, let me know. Pour me out. And he'll do that. But those lees, you know, so you can say, you know, hey, how your lees doing? How, you know, how, you got some good lees going on? I see your lees are getting a little bitter there, you know. Got a lot of a little stink going on. No. I think you need to pour out. You know, you need to pour out. But I think actually, you know, if you wait too long, that thing's gonna, it's not gonna be good. You know, it can go bad. All right. Let's move on. Praise God. Hallelujah. Take your journey and go. What did Jesus say? Go. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Go is a verb. Go in the power of the Spirit. Today is Pentecost Sunday. So how are you gonna go? You're gonna go in the power of the Spirit, power of the Holy Ghost. You know, Acts chapter 1, verse 8, and ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You'll be my witnesses. And he talks about the cities, you know, into all the world. But, you know, we celebrate. It's actually the Feast of Pentecost today. And honestly, you can't really go until you get filled with the Holy Ghost. And you can't take your journey. You know, you've got to get, and sometimes that's the struggle. You know, I can't do this, God. Well, and God says, yeah, you can't. God, you know, first of all, the journey is impossible. It's an impossible journey. It's only possible with God. But during the journey, you know, we're getting poured out. You know? So next time you feel like you're getting just, everything's just, God is emptying you. You ever have that feeling? I feel empty. That's actually probably a pretty good place. You know? Because you're getting emptied into something else. You got a bigger vessel. Praise the Lord. So God wants us to take our journey, to turn. That means to look at the promised land. Hey, the promised land was not really an easy thing. There's nothing about God that's easy. Can anybody attest to that? I mean, let's get real. But with God, all things are possible. But where would you rather? Would you rather be serving God or the devil? I'd rather be serving God, even if it's hard. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. You know, if he's going to, and I know you do too. You want your life to be a sweet savor. Anybody watch Columbo? Huh? It's not real spiritual, but, you know. But anybody, you know, because I just want to see who am I bearing witness with here. But there was one episode, it was called Any Port in the Storm, and it was all about wine. And the guy, you know, killed his friend, but they'd clarify it. They'd go like that. But, you know, when you have wine, you smell it. They say, oh, it's a beautiful bouquet. Really? You know? I would not have a clue. But you can tell when something stinks, though, can't you? You know, you may not be able to tell if it's a red bouquet or a blue bouquet or a spring bouquet, but I can tell when something stinks. Hallelujah. And so I don't want to be that one. I want to be that sweet-smelling savor in the nostrils of God. Hallelujah. And the way you get that is you pour yourself out. You pour yourself out. And who knows, God may be pouring this church out to get it bigger. To get it bigger. Hallelujah. Hey, we got, look to your right or left. Is there an empty seat in front of you? I don't know. But praise the Lord. God wants it bigger. God wants it bigger. And it's going to take pouring out. Praise the Lord. I don't know if the worship team come and play some music. I know everybody needs to repent this morning and get right with God. Hallelujah. And, you know, take your journey. Pour yourself out. Hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Go in the power of the Spirit. Go in the power. If you haven't been filled with the Holy Ghost, that's a gift. That's a gift. You need that. You need that. That's not an optional thing. That's like somebody giving you a gift of a new car. And you go to the car and here's the keys. You go to the car and you turn it on and the gauge says E, empty. So what good is that new car unless you fill it up with some gas, some power? And that's God. If you're going to take your journey, you got to fill it up. And so praise the Lord. So take an opportunity. Come to this altar. And, you know, when next Sunday morning, come to this altar. Years ago, the Lord showed us at Park Avenue. Now it's Portland House of Prayer. Praise the Lord. And but the Lord spoke to me. He says, why do people have to wait for the end of the service for an altar call? When they're coming to church, they're coming to the house of God, and they need to meet with me now. He says, and what happens is everybody's sitting in their seat and they're worshiping the Lord, and I want to minister to them. So what we did is we opened up the altars at the beginning. We'd have an altar call, if you will. So next Sunday morning, just come in, and during the worship time, come up for prayer. If you need something from the Lord, if you need wisdom, you need healing, you need deliverance, if you whatever you need from the Lord, come up. Now, when the Lord meets with you and you sit down, guess what? You have a totally different perspective on the Word of God. You can now hear the Word of God. You don't have that fear. You don't have that worry. God has met with you. Praise the Lord. And it really worked really well. So, I'm just suggesting that. But let's stand together. Hallelujah. Turn to your neighbor and say, how your leaves doing? How your leaves doing? Hallelujah. Let's just worship him right now. Let's just thank him. Let's just bless him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Moses said, turn, take your journey, and go. Now, you may be here this morning. Maybe you don't even know the Lord. Maybe, and that's fine. Maybe you don't know Jesus. Well, let me tell you what Jesus did. That 2,000 years ago, Jesus lived a perfectly sinless life. He became the accepted sacrifice to please God for the sins of mankind. And when he went to the cross, he died on the cross and he paid the penalty that I deserved. He paid a debt he did not owe. I owed a debt I could not pay. And the Bible says, if I believe on him, that I'm forgiven. There's no other forgiveness. There's no other way. Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except by me. And it's a free gift. It's a free gift. In the wisdom of God, God had to say, I have to make a way to save mankind and make it a free gift, make it available to everybody. And Jesus says, I'll go. And God the Father says, what do you mean you'll go? He said, I'll go and I'll be that sacrifice. God says, you willing to do that? Jesus says, yes, I am. The Father says, I'm willing to surrender you. So they went, and the Holy Ghost says, I'll raise him from the dead. We can do that? Yeah, we can. Well, let's do that. Let's make salvation available to anybody that believes. That's available to you this morning. If you don't know Jesus, if you're not born again, you may have been to church all your life. And this is not about church. This is not about attendance. This is about having a relationship with God. This is about God giving you a brand new heart. This is about a new creation. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. This is a miracle. And if you haven't received that, I need to see your hand. I just need to see your hand. I know many of you probably are saved, but if by chance you're not, I want to give you an opportunity. Praise the Lord.